Good morning, good people. This is Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Milford Green to talk about September being National Sickle Cell Awareness Month. Welcome, Dr. Green.
Thank you very much, Ms. Primus.
I'm glad you can be here because I've actually had a family member who had a sickle cell syndrome. So not the actual disease, but
yes,
a part of the sickle cell syndrome.
What we call that a sickle cell trait.
So it runs in my family. I definitely know that it's there. But could you share with our listeners exactly what is sickle cell anemia? What's the difference between sickle cell and sickle cell trait? And
yes,
why we've got this month of awareness about it?
Well, Sickle Cell Awareness Month is very important to those who have this disease, and of course the families of people and who give care to the people who have this disease. So we have this month of national recognition during which all kinds of activities are taking place throughout the country. And right here in Atlanta, we're really one of the epicenters of activities here in Atlanta with the Sickle Cell Disease Association of America. The Sickle Cell Disease, I was about to say the national organization, but the Sickle Cell Association of Georgia, we actually are probably one of the most active units throughout the country. And so we have a number of activities about which I'm going to tell you something about them today.
So what is sickle cell?
Sickle cell disease is what we call SS. In other words, a person inherits from each one of the parents an allele that's kind of part of a gene, but they inherit this from each parent. And every time a parent who has the trait, two parents who have the trait, have a child, there's a 25% chance that the child will be a sickle cell disease child. It could have sickle cell anemia, and there are also some other traits that they could have as well. There's also a 50% chance that they will pass on the trait, which we talked about. The trait's very important to talk about, as a matter of fact, because there's some consequences with respect to the trait. And then there's also a 25% chance that the child will be normal. So there's a great chance that every time a person comes, two people come together and have a child, there's a good chance that the child will be a sickle cell disease child. When you have the disease, when one has a disease, there are all sorts of problems. And first of all, it begins, it's a genetic disease we're talking about. So it begins, it is at birth that you have this already. In fact, you have it before birth. But it normally doesn't cut on until about 5 to 6 months of age. And then the kid will probably go through just a number of symptoms that will indicate that there's some real problems, and the most significant of which is pain. But there are many other consequences as well. Once this is determined, it is known at birth that the child has the disease because we have a national testing program. So every kid who has the disease, we know this at birth because they are tested. And we can be ready to get treatment ready going for that child because we know it already. And we at the foundation are involved in making sure that people get the information that they need in moving forward to help that child deal with the disease.
And now I was told with sickle cell, instead of the blood cell being round like a full moon, it's actually shaped
like a sickle.
Like a quarter moon
or early moon at any rate. Yes, that is because this is a disease of the protein that you find in the cell, the main protein, of course, being hemoglobin. And hemoglobin has four chains, and I won't get into the chemistry of the chains, but it has these four chains. The child, because there is two of the chains have defective or different proteins, I should say, the cell does not go back to its normal function as it goes through the cycle of moving oxygen throughout the body. So what happens is that it begins to form this shape called sickle, and these are very fragile cells. They're very difficult to get through small capillaries and blood vessels. So the child has, as a result, a considerable amount of pain. This is really the major manifestation of the disease. One of the major manifestations, of course, is pain. And children, as well as adults, go through what we call a crisis. And this crisis is a number of symptoms, the main one of which is pain, and very often they end up in an emergency clinic to try to help alleviate the pain. So it is a disease of the blood of the red blood cell. The red blood cell that is sickle does not have the viability of a beautiful biconcave disc red blood cell. It's fragile. Its lifespan is about 15, maybe 20 days. And, of course, the normal, pliable, beautiful red blood cell has a lifespan of about 120 days. So you're going to lose oxygen in the process. Remember, this is a very important, this stuff we call oxygen is ferried throughout the body by hemoglobin. And if anything is wrong with hemoglobin, then the person is not going to get the quality and the care of the oxygen that they would normally get, and they're going to have, as I say, pain as a result of the difficulty of this moving throughout the circulation.
And Dr. Green, I have allergies, and I just know on the days that my allergies are bad and I'm not getting oxygen, I'm sluggish, you know, it's hard to concentrate. So if you're living in this with this disease and you're not getting enough oxygen.
Well, they fatigue. It's fatigue sets in. There's a great deal of fatigue associated, especially during these crisis periods, during which you have a proliferation of these cells that are sickle. Most people have no idea why we need oxygen. They just say, "Well, we know we need oxygen." Well, oxygen. I'll tell you, oxygen is something that's called a final electron acceptor, and what that means is that there's a series of reactions that takes place in the body, and electrons are passed around in order to produce energy. And if this is not happening, if this runs down, well, then it's inconsistent with life. So we have to have oxygen as that final electron acceptor in these reactions. And I don't want to get into that in any great detail, but it's important for people to understand why we really need oxygen. It's absolutely essential.
And we're in the 21st century and on the cusp of all of these medical miracles. People are talking about cures for cancer, paralyzed people being able to walk. Where is sickle cell disease on that continuum? Are there cures?
Yes,
is there a
yes.
vaccine?
There are. There have been many cures. I would say there have been hundreds of cures at this point. Now, that may sound like a lot of people, but that's a very, very small number of people, and I want to make sure that people understand that even though a few people have been cured, and this is due to bone marrow transplants or sickle cell transplants. First of all, this is a very difficult operation to go through. It takes a long period of time. It's extraordinarily expensive. So the cure that we're talking about is certainly in no way, shape, or form practical. This is a most impractical cure, and it's also fraught with the possibility of actually dying in the process. So it's not exactly where we want to be. We want to have some kind of a very practical cure for this disease. And this will, I think we're still on the timeline for having that occur. So in the meantime, we have, well over 100,000 people in this country who suffer from the disease. Certainly more than 8,000 of those people are here, right here in Georgia. They are being born every day because the allele in the population is increasing. Now, there are some parts of the world that you can go to, for example, parts of Nigeria where the allele reaches somewhere like 40% or better. And in those cases, you have almost one out of two people carrying the allele. So there's a great chance, first of all, that you'll have the disease, but there's an even greater chance that the allele is being passed on throughout the population, which is the precursor to the disease. So it goes all around and around. And right now in the diaspora, and we have on the order of 300,000 children born each year worldwide, that is, who are afflicted with the disease. So we have a long ways to go, and everybody who actually everybody doesn't qualify to go through the process of that cure. First of all, you have to be matched. And very often it's someone in your family, a sister or brother, if that will take. But that doesn't always take as well. So we are a long ways from talking about a real cure.
And I know even on the bone marrow registry, there are a lack of African-Americans to screen against.
Absolutely. Those numbers pale. We're talking about perhaps as less than 5% of the population actually among African-Americans who have been tested and who could possibly serve as a donor. So we have a long ways to go in terms of educating those in the population. The other thing, of course, is that this is something that really, if it's going to take place, if we're going to have this operation, it should take place among the very young, because the older you get, the more difficult it is.
So you're talking about the diaspora and the disease, but does sickle cell affect people who are not part of the African diaspora?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, if you take a world map and you look at the places where malaria has been in play or has been in existence, you'll find that the numbers of people who have the allele are high. They're large numbers, because there's a peculiar relationship between this disease and malaria. It turns out that in malarial regions, those individuals who carry the trait actually have a kind of
immunity to malaria.
To sickle cell, because the disease, in other words, if you look at the population, malaria is killing those people who are normal and who have contracted malaria. Sickle cell disease is taking out the individuals who have sickle cell disease, but those who have the trait are proliferating in the population. They're living at the expense of the others. So their numbers are increasing in the population. So that's why you have more people with this particular allele, or the trait, if you will, in areas where you've had malaria. And of course, that has been in many other places throughout the world, all along the Mediterranean and India,
South America,
the Caribbean. You have anywhere. Of course, we brought this disease to this country with a slave trade, no doubt about that. So even though it wasn't recognized in this country until the early 1900s, about 1910, and seen in this country until about that time, it's likely, certainly, it's a certainty that this disease has been on the continent since people were brought to this country during the slave trade.
So now you were saying that this is the month for recognition, and that
yes,
your organization has events going on.
Yes.
Could you
this
share just a little bit?
Yeah. The most important one I'd like to say first is our Sickle Cell Walk, which will take place on September 16th. We invite everybody in the community to come out and walk with us for sickle cell. It'll cost you a small amount of money to register. Please go to our website, sicklecellga.org, and you can register to walk with us. We have other activities which will be taking place even earlier. We have a sickle cell vigil that will take place on September 6th. And we have on September 12th a yoga on the lawn event. So we have a number of activities that will be taking place. I might add parenthetically that the national organization will be having its annual convention here in Atlanta. And that will take place during the month of October, the week of October 23rd through 28th. So we're trying to bring awareness to this disease. We're trying to make sure that we get the information out to people who need this information. The numbers are increasing, which means that we're really still not getting out enough of the information. And we are a service organization. We serve people who have the disease, those people who support those people who have the disease, and we're trying to educate the public and so that we can alleviate some of the ills of this disease, as well as see if we can curtail these numbers.
And for people who want more information, how can they reach out to you? Could you give phone numbers, website?
Absolutely. You can reach the foundation at 404-755-1111. 1641. Or, as I say, go to sicklecellga.org. That's our website, and you can see all of the activities that are taking place there. There are also opportunities for volunteerism. We have people who go and volunteer and work with us at our camp. We have a week-long camp, which just ended. We send about 125 to 150 kids to camp each year. Well, these are sickle cell kids who can just go to camp and be kids. They have 24/7 health and health supervision. We have a physician. We have a physician on site at the camp. We have nurses on site at the camp. So these kids are really highly protected, but they can have an opportunity to do all the things they want to do. We also have a major symposium, which will take place in February at the Morehouse School of Medicine, one of our partners. We recently came to a very nice agreement with the Morehouse School of Medicine to support people with the disease, and so we're very pleased and happy about that. And we look forward to working with them and certainly the schools throughout the Atlanta University Center. We have a sickle cell laboratory where we actually diagnose these hemoglobinopathies. And so one can get tested right here at our offices on Benjamin E. Mays Drive. That's right near the fork there at Benjamin E. Mays and Cascade and Beecher Street, a short distance from the fire station there and Providence Baptist Church. So we're right there, 2391. You can find us very quickly. If you know someone who needs to be tested, we test athletes, as a matter of fact. We especially test athletes because there are some consequences for people who carry the trait. And so, in other words, during their training, coaches have to be cognizant of this. Doesn't mean that they cannot participate. We actually have people who participate who have the trait who are with the Atlanta Falcons, but they, on certain occasions, they cannot go to certain games. For example, they have to be careful in Denver, which has a high altitude and low oxygen tension. So that's one of the concerns that you have.
I think this is a conversation that we could probably have for another hour.
Absolutely.
But I want to thank you so much for coming and sharing this with our listeners. And I want to remind everyone that September is National Sickle Cell Disease Awareness Month. And this is something that impacts our community disproportionately for genetic reasons that we should all be aware of.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Milford Green.